So we will just move past public comment. Vote on revised bylaws. I did see in the bylaws, something was changed a month ago, but I'm not sure what it was. There was a revised date.
Oh, that's probably the date. I already put that date in.
I think, or without pause was added.
Yeah, everything that's highlighted in yellow.
Okay. Now,
there was all just minor.
Mail or send. Okay, so we get email. That would be, I think, does everybody have email addresses?
Send is ambiguous enough if you.
You can do anything. Okay, then there was the rules of order. We would be working under the one that was adopted by the city council because this is a city entity. I think there was a discussion of this at last meeting. It was probably, those were the items that were discussed, I presume. Does anybody?
Explain that. You said we were going to be, would be run by the rules that the city follows.
Right.
And that's not.
It's not Robert's Rules of Order.
So is this incorrect?
But wasn't it added the Robert's Rules of Order by Alice Sturgis? And isn't that this handout that?
Well, that's a cover, but I don't think it's, there's about a half a dozen formal rules of order.
Okay.
Robert's is the one that everybody uses. And I think that handout was handed out because it's sort of a crib sheet. I have to admit, I do have a copy of these official ones. I don't have it with me. And in practical terms, I don't know that they make much difference. I wonder if the wording of this is correct, because it's not called Robert Rules of Order. I do have the right name.
You don't think it is?
It is not. I don't think it's not Robert's Rules of Order. I think this Alice Sturgis is the person who organized it.
But the title is incorrect. But
I think this phrase,
Rules of Order is.
This sentence is incorrect.
Okay. I had a note referring to it as Standard Code of Parliamentary Procedure.
I think that's correct.
Okay.
Okay.
That, I think, is the title of the document.
Okay.
And I have to admit, it's hard enough to understand one system rather than having some others. And I think it's,
right.
It's some very subtle places it's different.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think there's some things you don't need a second for. And so you can have a little more general input. You don't need to have, but I've always been very impressed with like Robert's Rules of Order. It seemed like it's been developed with really trying to do a very good job. But the city is different. Would you want to adopt and approve this subject to the correction of what that formal title is?
Yeah. Make sure we have the exact.
I know where the book is laying around at the office, and I can just take it off that and change it. How would that be?
And I think it's very much what you said.
That sure sounds true.
And I would entertain a motion if that would be of interest. Or we could table it for next week. I don't think there's no urgency of this, I don't believe. Okay, I sense the idea we table it for a month.
Unless nobody wants to make a motion. But
that's fine. I think that would be appropriate. And,
no rush.
Discussion of Ms. Wechselbaum's input. I was not here last week. I'd be open to anybody sharing. Were you all present last month? Yes?
I spoke with Ms. Wechselbaum right after the meeting and gave her my email address, and she got me in touch with some of the people that work with the LGBT PFLAG group that's in St. Cloud. And if we wanted to set up a PFLAG group here in our area or some other kinds of places or groups to help parents of gay, lesbian, trans kids or adults, we could, we have a resource in her and there. And so I thought it was very nice of her to make that connection. And so I thought I'd just mention that for the good of our order, whatever it is.
Overall, it sounded like that, that commission is not running very well, or that the relationship between that commission and the city council isn't smooth. Certainly, the relationship with the Human Rights Commission of the state is not what it used to be, and I thought...
She came up, she was pretty clear on that, yeah.
Yeah, that it wasn't real smooth. The one thing that she said went well that occurred to me was that they've had several forums. Is that what they called? They were called forums, educational forums on topics. So that seemed to be the thing that had worked the best.
Programs they had sponsored for the public.
Yes. One, for example, was on homelessness. Mm-hmm. And they said that they had about 90 people come out to that forum, and there was a lot of interest in it. And my ears kind of perked up on that. I thought, well, that would be something we could do. We would have to decide what kinds of things the community should be educated on, but...
And we need to be careful not to replicate, right? There's, you know, other groups in town that are doing sort of good work, right? Our Vision 2040, you know, Green Card Voices. And so... You know, how to work kind of in tandem, how to, but not necessarily replicate exactly some of the things that they do.
Talking of homelessness, there are groups really, right. I think, taking a very, doing a very positive position, so that would be a lower priority.
Right, just, right. As I wasn't recommending right. that no. as, yeah. as an example. Mm-hmm. And I think there is in St. Cloud, too, that mm-hmm. form kind of, was to alert people as to what was out there.
What I have felt is that maybe this has always been true through the history of our country, but the different heritages know very little about each other. I know my office is downtown, and I know some of the people have merchants and businesses there. You know, I like ethnic food. I've been to the Somali Star a number of times, but I think in talking with friends, I don't think I ever meet people that I know that have gone to the Somali Star restaurant, and yet it's a very good African restaurant.
And I agree that not very many do, but some do. I go there sometime, and I see other community folk come.
I think it's one of the things that I guess we've done sometime. I've got some people that, you know, we come over there, I mentioned, they'd like to go because they've never been there. And I think they feel a little intimidated because they haven't been to Africa and they don't know what to expect. But I enjoy goat. But I know other people have said that slightly different definition of that.
Yeah, it's true actually. You know, the cultures are different when even the way they communicate and the way they talk each other and the way they, when they are enjoying together, even if they are watching a football, the way they sound sometimes, people think that if they speak loudly and then, you know, the cultures are a little bit different, but I understand that there's some, we feel, it's true.
Because I think most issues can be resolved if people understand each other on a personal level.
That's true.
And it's just to know. And I know downtown, the downtown group, we've tried to have invitations and things, but, you know, it's, I think the same, the other communities are a little hesitant because they don't know what's expected of them either.
Didn't Vision 2040 24th, didn't they have a, an event last summer where there was kind of a walk around?
Yeah, and they've had a few walk the corridor type of events, kind of linked in with the chamber too, and the next group, so.
I kept all the stuff I got from them because I thought it seemed like, well, right, how can we work with them or how can we, I mean, just be mindful of the work, the great work they're doing.
What about a forum of some sort of our own that is just to kind of introduce the community to the Human Rights Commission and all the aspects in gathering together to help one another learn more about one another? We had a discussion at church the other night with the mission committee about something we might do at the time of WilmerFest, to just get people communicating. I'm at First Presbyterian, so we're right downtown, the heart of the town, and so we were exploring some ideas for the church to be able to have a question answer contest of some sort, maybe for people who are just wandering around at for the parade. They can stop by and ask questions, and then they could win a prize. Or everybody gets a prize. Well, we have to figure out what questions and who would be the official person to give us the right answer, too.
Sometimes I think, too, like, physically, where can we meet? And I was talking to Darlene Schrader, the person who was one of the founders of Women Music Matters, and I think is sort of a great citizen, sort of mover and shaker, right? She gets things done. She's very visionary. But she now is working with the, well, I want to call it the Senior Citizen Center, right? And so they're trying to kind of revision, rebrand, and not have it just be a place where elderly white people come to have lunch or coffee and listen to a polka band. Well, that was unkind, that last part.
It does happen there, though.
But I think a big accomplishment has been changing the name to a community center. That is very good.
And so I think that I wasn't able to go to the meeting there, but they're looking to enlarge its purview, right? So that it isn't just elderly white people. There's all sorts of people who could use it for a variety of reasons, right? And just the awareness of different communities that they could use it for free or for a small fee, and to not have it just be open, you know, Monday through Friday, you know, 9 to 3 or whatever.
Yeah, and there was, I don't know the name of it, but there, when I was working in Arizona, I had quite a few patients who had been placed or ended up in Tucson, and they were war refugees from Iraq, Afghanistan. I had a gentleman who had been in refugee camp in Bhutan or Nepal. I mean, quite a community, and they did have a very nice community of gathering places. You know, some of my clients, they didn't speak English at all. It was all with a translator in Arabic. But they did have a community center to go to interact with one another from their own community, and also to be introduced to the community they were now living in, where they were going to stay. So I know there's places out there doing that. And that's, as far as a mental health perspective, I think that's really important, to be able to have a place to go outside of the home. It's a little, if there's a caretaker in a situation, you know, there's a mom and a daughter, and they're home all the time because the daughter has to take care of the mom or dad or whatever. So they need an outlet to be with people that they can talk to and do things with. And, you know, in the mental health community, there are drop-in centers or peer support groups for the population that's been here for a long time, but not so much for maybe Somali or African communities. And the need is there. So a community center might be a good place to have an intro to that.
Darlene said that someone even thought that, that she was just thinking of women at first, that there be some sort of style show and perhaps people bringing their food, their nationality as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. And I think that was sort of seen as a largely female gathering, but...
It seems like it's about 10 years ago, for a few years, they had a Festival of Nations at the Kennedy School. And remember, we would bring our kids there, and there was food, yeah. music, mm-hmm. games and things. And there were at least 30-plus heritages there, the Scandinavian, mm-hmm. the Dutch, and the German, and French, and Icelandic, and a whole series, as well as the newer ones. But I think that kind of thing puts it all sort of in a nice balance, and it's fun. And people have a positive image. And every nationality has some food things. If you don't know anything about it, you have something that's fun and interesting. And that kind of a festival, St. Paul has a big one every year. Mm-hmm. But I think there was a big crowd for them here. The school had things all over. And
Who organized that? Do you know? Was it the school itself? Or was
it wasn't. I believe funding was available through... there was this, some of these multicultural market things. I don't know which program, but it was some of those programs that helped organize that.
Isn't downtown Lorna supposed to get some sort of market?
Yes, they have, and there is a.
They started one.
Project going again, and the one that was in the north, on the farther north there, they've spun off some successful business, but now that one will be is a proprietary. They're trying to buy the building. But the one where, next to the Barn Theater, and between our office and the Barn Theater, we'll have several incubator restaurants, and there's some other things trying to get going there too. Charlie.
The space next to the Foxhole?
Yes.
Okay. The Hub, is it called?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they had the farmer's market there a couple
yes.
of times during the winter months?
They will have the farmer's market there this summer now.
Oh, good.
They will?
Yes, on the street. Mm-hmm. I think what I see, so many people do not understand, and when our ancestors came, it was really not too different. They came with their heritages. They wanted to wear their homespun sweaters from Norway and whatever it was. That's what they were used to. It didn't take very long, and they changed in something else. But they came the way what they were comfortable with. And the older people, the grandparents, often didn't change too much. Life went on. The kids, the younger generations change fast. The grandparents often didn't bother learning English and the language at home. As long as they lived, the older generation, it was stayed in the heritage, the traditional language. Not too different. I think the younger people are, and the new immigrants today, maybe Basha, you could comment on that, but I think the younger generation are adapting more easily, and some of the older ones like the world the way they remembered it.
No, that's a fact, actually. When you see a generation coming from outside of a country, compare me and my son. My son born here in Christ Hospital. I'm sure when he become the age of mine, he will be different from me in terms of adaptation of the community, in terms of speaking, the side of education, because of it's different, we born here and grow up, we have other friends, which I never had when I was young, and there's so many difference. When you see a big mama is going around having a big vein covering themselves, I think their children would be different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the children who Pony and Wilmer will walk like the way her grandmom or her mother are going around, because of the young generation would be different, you know. Mm-hmm. Who knows what?
And language alone.
Yeah.
If you come, if you learn a new language after you're 12, you're gonna have an accent.
Yeah.
It's just true.
Yep.
Just can't not.
Yeah.
Almost.
So it's the difference, totally it will be different. So the young generation will be different.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe your granddad or some of you,
they
even your grandparents mm-hmm. never even speak English, but now mm-hmm. things have changed. On the other hand, I wish I would like to share with you. Can I, or should I go to, the, or should I tell?
Mm-hmm. The email? Is there a situation that has taken place, or?
No, it's actually what I have seen there in the county. So, should I email to you, or should I?
Wait, I don't, if you want to share something, I don't see that any problem with that either, if that's...
yeah, okay.
It's kind of free fall.
It's not a big thing, actually, but... here in the county, the family service there, I have seen a message that says that if you're a Somali speaker, they just take a picture from them, from there. So let me read a little bit. Here's what they say. Family service will have a Somali interpreter available for clients, a Somali language speaker, Tuesday from 1 to 4, and Wednesday from 8 to 11, Thursday from 1 to 4. If you are if you are a Spanish speaker, you can come anytime, 5 days a week. But if you are Somali speakers, you can only come. And if you can't speak English, you can come only that 3 days. That means if you are a Somali speaker, you have got a time, 8 hours a week. You'll be helped 8 hours a week. But if you speak Spanish and you don't know English, you can get help 5 days a week. So because of that things, and then you can see on Tuesday and Thursdays a lot of Somali speakers in the line. Because they don't have for that few hours the interpreter is there. If that hour's gone, then we have to go back and come the next Tuesday. Because of that guy or whoever is there who translated will never be there for you. So there's a little bit of problem.
What you're saying is the hours with a Somali speaker is very limited,
yeah.
And that time, his time when he's there, it's filled.
Yeah.
How many hours a week is there a Somali speaker there?
8 hours.
8 hours.
For the whole week.
For the whole week.
Mm-hmm.
But if you speak Spanish and you don't know English,
yeah.
Then the interpreter will be there for you 5 days a week.
I can see they probably have a full-time Spanish-speaking employee
yeah.
to work there.
So they don't need an interpreter because they have...
They don't need it, yeah.
And
because they have employees.
They have employees.
And they've got somebody they may be contracting with to help them.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. But if you speak Somali and you don't know English, you can come only certain hours,
yeah.
some hours.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many people there, and then the queue's there, very big line, and then if that hour's gone, then you have to come next day, then you get out.
But I'm wondering if those are the hours, I guess from what I understood it, those are the hours that walk-in people, you know, if you walked in, you can get interpreting services during those hours. If you want to make an appointment, and another time, and you need an interpreter, you can request that?
If you have got an interpreter, if you speak English, that is okay.
No, I'm saying if you, any language, like I want to make an appointment for 2 o'clock on Monday, but I need an interpreter. But if I have an appointment.
You won't get it. You have to come. You will get an appointment by that day, whereby that guy who speaks English is there. But you cannot get another time. You cannot say, I will come on Monday, 11 o'clock.
If you make an appointment?
If you make an appointment, they make a schedule, you know. So that's how they do. So that things make a little bit hard. So I have seen so many community complaining about that. Why these things happen? Why? You know, it's very easy to hire someone who speak English well and be there like other community. So they complain about that thing. Even
really, I think my experience has been with Woodlands is the fact that, you know, we do treat Somali clients, and then we plan the schedule, we plan an interpreter to come, and half the time the interpreter hasn't come. So then that, and so I don't know exactly the community service where the interpreter is, there's a pool of people that will be interpreting for Spanish and or for Somali. So I think how can we help get more Somali speaking individuals to be part of the pool so they'll be there. I mean, who are the people that we can call to be the interpreters? I mean, I had a situation last week, a woman came with her daughter and we waited and the interpreter never did show up. Her daughter spoke a little bit of English and it was an easy, quick visit, so we kind of got through it, but there isn't a pool of people to do that.
Right.
I don't know if there's is there a service of interpreters from, you know, you could do over the phone, maybe from the cities.
There's interpreters here.
Yes, there are, but that's what you're saying, is that they're not available only those certain hours.
At the county, they're not available, but in the community, they're interpreters.
They are available. So what I mean.
So if you organize your own interpreter and brought them out there, can you go at any time?
Yeah, you can go in there. But you know, most of the time, when you don't speak English,
right,
you won't
they're
get
just
someone,
seeing the sign.
You won't get someone who is there for you. So what I mean is that it will be very helpful if the city or the family service just hires just someone, just one person, and add those 150 people working there, and then the community will be good.
Now, obviously, we can't solve that, but what can we do? How could we? How could we, as a team, convey that concern and who to? You know, we've struggled with that. We talked about that a little bit before. If we don't have any decision-making power, but how could we? Who could we communicate
and
this to and how?
It would be the county. And obviously the county also has a budget issue.
Yeah.
But they have a Somali translator, but maybe what you're saying is they should expand the hours of that person.
It's not a full time. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
It's just a couple of hours. And that couple of hours is not enough. They are doing, but it's not enough. Yeah. So that's what I consider.
I know when you go to ACMC, they ask you at the door, at the desk, if you need interpretation. They seem to have interpretation all the time, right? ACMC does.
Yeah, ACMC. Yeah. It's good. It's good. Yeah, yeah. It's really it's good. But I have seen people complaining. So
who's in charge over at Health and Human Services?
Well, Larry Klein is an administrator.
He would be the administrative person that would be in charge of the building.
Yeah. It seems like there could be a good compromise there, because actually, when you're looking at the private sector, like ACMC or Genio or whatever, that can create positions specifically for the ease of interpretation as a liaison or translator, it's a little different in the public sector. You know, at the county, because they're bound to the positions that are within the realms of the budget and what the state dictates, and to, you know, because I'm guessing you're talking about the financial end of family services. Is I'm guessing that's where that sign is, if I had to guess. And so the county would be a little bit more hard pressed to just hire a person full time.
that position already has to be there and be in the budget. Right. You see what
and
I'm
they
saying?
Have to have the skill set to be able to do the financial piece of it too, not
right?
Just
yeah.
interpreting.
Would
right.
it be within our purview
no,
to?
I don't know much more about this. I don't know who, how they work actually.
Right.
But what I mean is that there's a constraint there, and there
yeah.
is. You can. There's no. If you find out, you can get someone who's skilled and someone who can fulfill that gap. There's a lot of people who did. Who speak Somali, and also they can do that job. But in case if they need someone, if someone maybe retire or whatever, if they include or just specifically. Hire someone who do their job. It would be very helpful.
And is it Somali or is it something like Arabic?
No,
you
Somali.
Need
Somali.
Somali. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and like in the family services, they have to be in the merit system. They've had to take the merit
right.
test and be in the state registry. And my guess is, you know, as with hiring, if there was someone in there that had that those language skills and matched the skill set for the job and was in the merit system, they would rise to the top of the applicant pool.
I can
because,
verify that. I've
yeah,
done that job.
You know,
so
also,
I can verify
right.
that.
I
you know.
When I share this story with one mom, she told me that they just call someone who translates through the phone. As she,
right.
Mm-hmm.
The
yeah,
language
said,
line.
And then that guy, it just translate like the way even it's improper way, like she give an information which she don't even say anything, and then they all her application was messed up and all that,
yeah.
and give her wrong bad date and all that thing. So always
yeah,
instead of calling someone,
yeah.
instead
yeah.
of calling someone, someone who just sitting in front of you is better than someone that you call. So, like Genio, if you know Genio, there's a Somali interpreter there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even Spanish, Somali, and English, whatever. You know, English. We all we speak English. Don't need to translate. Anyone who we speak English, you don't have a problem wherever you go. And you need to say, but the minority people like Somali and Spanish and all that thing, they always. They need someone. They're always in need.
Mm-hmm. And they may be newcomers.
Yeah, the newcomers.
They may be older.
Mm-hmm. They're
right.
older, you know. They're all they're, so always they need. So that's what I have seen.
Could we send someone to at least talk to Larry and express the concern and ask some questions? Would that be appropriate?
Yeah, I guess when I think about what my role would be, my role is, or what our commission role is, I think, are we the people that try to find the happy compromise? You know, we're not going to be able to dictate,
no.
we're not going to have the
you
teeth to dictate who that they can hire, but do we have the, is it our, kind of our role to look at this as we're the people that may be able to mitigate a compromise?
Or do we just have to respond to the council?
I still think well, we all have a duty and a role to enlighten the person that needs to know
yeah.
the most.
Sure.
Whether it's you go to Larry as someone on the commission, or you go, or if you know him.
Right.
I mean, we're all on the commission together, and you know, we over all of our concerns overlap one another because
mm-hmm.
we're here for human, you know,
mm-hmm.
human rights. So. Whoever might be the one willing to go and make that call and make that visit or have a sit down chat, you know, whether it's you or me or anybody could do it.
Mm-hmm.
You're concerned about this, and this has been brought to our attention at the commission meeting.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do to help, and what's going on to make it better?
And to hear them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Isn't, I mean,
right.
we know one thing, right? But
right.
life is always very nuanced, and there's always, you know, this
right.
whole spectrum of ways to look at things.
Mm-hmm.
Are we thinking
sure.
it'd be desirable to have somebody from the commission maybe meet with Larry Kleindahl before the next
well,
meeting?
That was a suggestion that I was trying to make, but then when I think about it, I would feel better if we had one of the council members here to tell us
mm-hmm.
whether
right.
that's a good idea or whether we're out
yeah.
stepping.
I would
home.
Agree.
Yeah, that's appropriate.
Should do that.
Yeah. Yeah, but, and I mean, that's...
Maybe this is an item we can bring up at our next meeting again.
It's
yeah.
true.
and talk about it.
It's a fresh mind, yeah. Well, maybe one of the counselors is here, so.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and maybe some guidance on what is the procedure when things like this are brought to our attention? What does the, you know, what is this commission, what's our action step? Mm-hmm. Is there one, or are we just directing people to, you know, telling somebody to go talk to Larry about it? Or are we going to do something collectively, or one of us?
It seems like, you know, it's educate, advocate, and inform.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it might be a communication, the inform part. Mm-hmm. Advocate, you know, I think we certainly aren't at the point to advocate anything. Mm-hmm. You know, we've only heard one piece.
Right.
Educate, you know.
I see us making connections.
Yeah.
You know, I don't just want to see things right. stop here, right?
No.
Where, you know, Bashir tells this and then, oh, we're like, oh, isn't that too bad, right? And that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
But
we may very well find, if we do go talk with Larry and have that conversation, right. he's going to tell us, yeah, we're working on it.
And
I mean,
this
he
is
may
what
very
we're
well
do,
say
we
that.
Can
we,
it back,
we're
know?
Up against this roadblock, yeah. we see the problem. But I think the conversation mm-hmm. could be good. But
right.
like I said, I would feel better if we at least had a council
right.
member here.
Mm-hmm.
To tell us if we are
well,
outstepping.
I think that's the beauty of the commission, that we're starting out as, well, we have all these ideas and we have options of how to mold the group and the purpose of the group. I mean, and that, I mean, that's what we're doing right now. It's like, you know, I go through the newspaper and I look at things about mental health or whatever's in the news, and like, oh, well, this would be very, you know, somebody else has a suggestion. Like a drive-along with the city police with someone who is in mental health. You know, they get a call, there's a mental health situation.
Mm-hmm.
They go, and so those things are being done in other communities that maybe could be done here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an idea forming or bringing ideas that are our own or from other places that we see.
Mm-hmm.
And no, we're not going to cure all the ills of the community and. Well, you know, in a one-year, two-year term, whatever we do, but we have to start somewhere.
That's an excellent example, and I just think of that specific example. Of course, you can't go to the police and say, do this, but we can say, hey, here's an idea we have.
And personally, I'm in a position to make that suggestion from, you know, I get pretty busy, but I work with, we have mobile crisis teams,
yeah.
and we have people that can do that. And if we could do a little intervention, of course, then there's a whole bigger problem with mental health, that there's not the beds, there's not
right.
the
right.
facilities in our community, and we have to find a place to put people.
They're too often jailed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happened recently, and it's a concern, but, you know, I think they try to work very hard to make it not punitive and, you know, just safekeeping until we can go somewhere. So there's always complications, but
it's kind of fun in a way, because if I had to guess, just from an employer standpoint, I bet you bring this up to the county and they probably were thinking that having a person there, a real life person, is better than the years that they just
oh, sure.
functioned with Language Line.
Mm-hmm.
So these conversations, right. you know, is could be enlightening for
yeah.
And
also
guys.
On the other hand, instead of paying and hiring someone who is outside of the of Wilmer and paying money, you phone someone, maybe he's in California
mm-hmm.
or in somewhere else. Instead of paying that person some dollars, why don't you hire someone who is living here and buying
yeah.
things from Walmart or
mm-hmm.
paying the utility? So if you need someone who translate, instead of calling someone, hey, can you?
Mm-hmm.
It's easy. It's better to hire someone
who understands the community.
Yeah, who understands.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but the county would have to then vet that person. They'd have to look into their background. They'd have to train them about confidentiality. I mean, they just can't walk in and call them up and say, "Hey, can you come over and translate?" And there's a lot involved in getting them
mm-hmm.
ready to take that position.
Mm-hmm.
It's
right.
true.
Yes.
And it may be that they're working on that.
Okay, I guess we've
mm-hmm.
sort of
explore things?
I guess we'll bring it up next time when there's a city council member present. That would be, I think, the answer we've got, and then we'll proceed from there. We could continue discussion that we have here. Otherwise, the next thing on the agenda is determine Abdullah Muhammad's term length. And I'm not sure what the issue is. I thought there was, at that early meeting, there was term lengths established for everybody, but this one was not?
Correct. He wasn't here at the time, so his was not established.
Do you have the names of the commissioners and the lengths of all their terms?
I did.
It's in the March 15th minutes.
There, he's got it. There we go.
Okay.
So we have four and four. We're pretty equally divided, so I think that, Chris suggested.
And then we have the question of...
That he's leaving, yeah.
He was a 1 year, 16. So then to make it even, then he would replace him, that would still be 4-4-4.
Yeah, maybe you want to announce that.
Okay. Kalumba Fernandez has resigned. He had a letter to the mayor. Mm-hmm. And he was down, it'd be through the end of this year. He had a 1 year term. And so we have that opening. And so the simple way around this would be just to have him to replace it, and it would still be the same makeup. I don't know that there was nothing specific mentioned on his letter of why he resigned. It was just penned the subject immediately.
Makes sense. 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Is there a motion?
Marlon?
I make the motion.
Okay, motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that's resolved. I guess we're to the end. It's still a little before 6 o'clock. Is there anything else we should discuss?
One thing that occurred to me was we've talked about having forums. We don't have to rush into having one, but it might be nice to keep a list of possible forums as ideas come up. Mm-hmm. I don't know where you'd tuck that. Maybe in the inside of our folder, but it doesn't even have to necessarily be official, but ideas. Mm-hmm. And then time might come when we say, well, we would like to move forward with a forum, an educational topic that we think would be helpful in the community. Because sometimes they come up in the middle of conversation.
Mm-hmm. I had a student who wrote in my 121 class that required to write a solution paper where they find a problem in their own community, and they write about the problem and how to solve it and the reasons why it would work. And she wrote an amazing paper about how she wishes that people who were undocumented could have a special driver's license. And I know we had a meeting at St. Mary's about it, right? It went a certain length, but it didn't pass. And she wrote a very compelling paper from her own life. And it was so strong and amazing that I asked her, I said, I'm on the Human Rights Commission. If we ever had, a time for people to come, I said, do you think you'd be willing to come and talk about this, right? We wouldn't maybe give her name so it's in, say, the official minutes. But I mean, her parents are undocumented and they've really struggled because of the driver's license issue. And so she said that yes, right? I mean, she's only 19 or so. She said she'd be willing if we had a forum on something like the driver's license, the special one, whatever it's called. So I'll just put that out there, right? I'm like trying to pay attention now to my students and people around me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good question, right? If homelessness isn't necessarily, I mean, we were working with homelessness, right? It seems like, so what are our priorities think we ought to think about. What do you think are our weaknesses?
Well, I do know too the undocumented things. I mean, we're under the immigration law of 1996, and it is not working now. And we have youth who are here by no choice of their own, who are really struggling and can't do anything about it. And I mean, we've met with immigration attorneys and saying, what can we do to help these students? And I mean, I think if the general public knew all these facts, I mean, it's very disturbing. It's so disheartening to listen to these youth and parents. I mean, they came here for a reason, you know, and now under the current immigration, you know, it's federal law, they have to go back to their country for 10 years or whatever. And then, I mean, it's just so unrealistic that anybody would ever go through any of those steps, but it's almost impossible then to become a citizen under that, under this immigration law of 1996. And, you know, we're talking federal legislation that needs overhauling, and but it's a huge issue here in Wilmer.
And there was a big number. I wish I could have gone to the St. Mary's thing. And so I asked my student, I said, what became of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she thought that maybe it had passed the House, but not the Senate, right? There was something.
This is the dream law.
No, this has to do with the special driver's license.
Oh, the driver's in Minnesota.
In Minnesota.
Okay.
Yes, it's different than the Dreamers. I've got plenty of Dreamers, too. But this was this particular young woman was... Mm-hmm. With the driver's license, which wasn't an issue that I was that knowledgeable about.
You know, the forum, there's a number of issues we could have, but I'm wondering, you know, we wanted it really reach the entire community, not just one little group. And you mentioned one group had 90 people, but yet we've got 20,000 in the city and 40,000 in the county. Yeah. And it seems like if we could do something that's fun, that people really enjoy it, you know, you can probably reach a broader group. And I think there's a message, you know, 100, you know, when you're looking at 40,000 people in the county, and I come back to this, like the Festival of Nation thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, nothing they says are, you can't do both. I certainly like that Festival of Nation.
I certainly,
that was
not
the first one on my mind. That
I think doing multiple things there, but, you know, we can, one of the things we, so often I tend to think we can do something, we'll probably get 90 people that just about agree with to begin with.
Right.
And they may not be the real people that you need to check, that need to be educated.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really good that by accident, the mayor chose this venue for this, because the Historical Society, I've seen letters to the editor where people saying that immigrants should understand our heritage. That's legitimate, and this is a great place, a great forum for that. But I think the Festival of Nation, it helps everybody.
I think it's really important that we as a committee establish some credibility in the community or some visibility or whatever. And certainly if we were behind a Festival of Nations, that would be an excellent first step to not only do something, but let it. So this is the Human Rights Commission, and this is something they do.
Because the first step in human relations is understanding people and accepting whatever they are. That's and I think the actual truth is always better than perceived speculation.
Right, but when people don't know, they just make things up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't know what they're about somebody else. I just met somebody who didn't know what LEFSA was, if you can believe that.
I didn't know what it was until 3 years ago.
He grew up on the West Coast, and he's like, what's LEFSA?
I'm
like,
here you go many times.
Are you kidding me?
But it's true. That's just
right.
That. And, you know, I've had experience living in South Florida, and I was the minority. I mean, I spoke English. I didn't speak Spanish. You know, I was the boss, so.
In Florida.
In Miami. And so Spanish was number one Creole from Haiti was number two. And in my particular hospital in the area I live, where I worked, I was, there were African American and Central South American employees and me from Michigan. But it was, but we really embraced, it was a pretty dynamic experience because we really did our best to work with all the nationalities, everybody, you know, at our workplaces. We had a Festival of Nations or a potluck of everybody would bring food from their culture, and we had, you know, chicken made with beer and yellow rice and curried goat, and I took a hot dog, you know. I mean, it was pretty good. But I could see that working well, hopefully, in this community. That's why at church mm-hmm. we were talking about it as incorporating that into WilmerFest. Mm-hmm. You know, where right. this is a very rich and dynamic community. For, you know, for me, moving in here and seeing different cultures and languages is always very exciting for me. But mm-hmm. it can be a little scary. Mm-hmm.
How could we find out who was involved in the last? When did the last Festival of Nations
well,
happen?
And it kind of was around the Cinco de Mayo. They're doing a Cinco de Mayo festival again now, I think next week. And Javier Valenzuela from Bremer Bank is kind of involved with that. And then WAM was also involved with that, the Wilmer Area Multicultural Market.
What about the Wilmer Fest? I've never really participated in it, but that was what we mm-hmm. spoke about in yeah. for church.
James Miller is on that board. He's the executive director of the United Way, but he's on the Wilmer Fest board. And there's some other people connected with us at the chamber, on the chamber board, that are connected with Wilmer Fest. I mean, that would be a place to get some visibility, but we'd have to ramp up pretty quickly
yeah.
here.
Right.
This
you
year,
know.
Is that's a month from now. That is,
right,
that
I'm
is
like,
very realistic.
You know.
But the downtown block party would be, I could envision that working really
well. And when
well
is that, the block party?
During Wilmer Fest.
During
Wilmer
Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, and that's
over
when
years that I've lived
our
here.
Church is wanting to do something mm-hmm. like that would be incorporating everybody in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
We have the you know, family promise mm-hmm. at our church. And so. So we're gonna try to come up with something real quick for that. But would that be appropriate to have churches involved? I mean,
sure. I think I don't know that there's any.
What about including you know, a mosque or people from your place of worship? Would that be
mm-hmm.
appropriate?
I think.
The other thing, I want to, you know, embrace everybody, but I don't want to, you know, step on anybody's cultural toes.
No, I think many of the people think that it would be very little bit hard to intervene a mosque, but it's very easy actually.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys who are in the mosque, they are not inclusive. They can welcome anyone. We
right.
can move together.
Right. I know when we were first on the planning stuff with Family Promise,
it's just,
like 4 years
right.
ago, we went to the mosque because mm-hmm. it was like, okay, we're, you know, most of the churches that were involved were Christian. And
mm-hmm.
it's like, we're going to need some help like Easter week and Christmas week,
mm-hmm.
you know, because these are weeks that the Christian churches are very taxed, and you know, so we went to the mosque and there was actually from other models, because they had worked with like Seventh-day Adventists and they had worked with the Muslim religion and just worked it out that we could kind of work around some of the more the Christian holidays in more Christian communities, and it was a great partnership, you know. And so they're not hosting necessarily, but they were involved in those initial planning, saying, yes, we would like to be involved.
There's still a support.
Yeah,
yes,
so,
and
know,
there's support congregations.
To me, I go five mm-hmm. times wherever I need and pray there.
Mm-hmm.
I can bring the imam here.
Yeah.
In front of us, and I can bring most of that.
Right.
We can go together and sit there with the imam and talk about everything that we need in order to communicate and get help or whatever. To diversity is very important as a community here in Wilma. So the mosque and the church, it's the same. It's a worship. It's a place of worship.
Right.
So our job as a human right, we are working for the humanity. So there's no barrier, there's no anything, that can stand in front of us to go to the mosque, and no one can stand in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that we will face a hard face if we want to go to the mosque. So it's open door. We can go, we can communicate, we can visit anyone that we want. Like me, I go to church. In my school there, in Christian College, I'm a student. If I get hungry, I go there. I eat with them.
Right.
So many, not only me, so many friends. So there's no way what we can isolate and sit there. And
I was at the where a number of
Korean
Baptists meet at the Grace Baptist, and I was there with a friend and a student for a Korean meal, and I asked the leader over there, I said, I'm on the Human Rights Commission, where do you think is a place where we can all meet and come together? And he said, well, I think that the only place that we can meet is at the cross of Jesus. And I said, well, what about my Muslim brothers and sisters? I said, how do they fit into this?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't answer.
It's in Islamically, the holiest place is the mosque. The next place is the church, if I tell you the truth. So if you miss the mosque, you have to go to the church. That's what the religion of Islam says. Church is a place whereby people worship to their own God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a place whereby church, we believe church, it's a holy place. You are there in order to reach or to communicate with your God. So there's no way that, there's no barrier between Muslim and Christian. We are one community. We are in the same boat. So if we are in the same boat, we have got in the same interest. So we have to come together, united as a community.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever we need, we have to go to the mosque, we can go to the church, we can go to the, we can knock the doors. There's no door that would be, so I can bring the imam here, the imam of the mosque, the community, the guys who are there. So I think that's become.
That would be good, I think, at some point.
Would somebody be interested in maybe even the next meeting by having him on the agenda, if that could work out?
Sure, that's great.
That's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is our next meeting?
Yeah, do we have
What's
a date?
What's the date?
Is it the third Wednesday? That'd be the 21st.
Tuesday.
Third Tuesday, I mean.
In June. 21st, that's Wilmerfest's week.
Yeah.
Think that's going to run into issues?
What's the date exactly?
It'd be the 21st.
That's Wilmerfest week.
That'd be tied up for the city, be very busy all that week, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
How about the 28th?
Let's see, I think the idea was it was the second. And the fourth weeks have a council meeting, is that it? So we didn't want the second and fourth weeks.
Right.
That leaves.
And I imagine that whole week is a busy week because of Wilmerfest.
Mm-hmm.
We could do two things. We could table it for a month.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a little.
Or you could, there's nothing says you have to meet every month.
We don't have
month.
To meet every month.
June's a busy month for me.
Go to July.
And I think in the summer with vacations, it's hard to get anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Should we table it until, just maybe try for the
19th of July?
19th of July.
and can do it.
I know I'll be gone, but I'm sure.
That's hard.
Everybody can take notes and tell me what.
Would there be a motion to cancel our June meeting and meet in July 19th, and then? Motion?
Make that motion.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. And then maybe we could have the representative of the mosque at that meeting, possibly?
When?
That would be?
July 19th.
July 19th.
Yeah.
July 19th.
Yeah.
And I, that's a fine idea, but do we have, it's just an open discussion, or do we have something we want them to present to us, or we just want to chat with them? What's the point?
I sense the point is understanding. A general, big picture understanding. One of the questions, I understand that there's really two Somali communities in Wilmer, or more than one, and a lot of, the mosque, they sort of come together, but a lot of places, people are, have their old heritage from different groups from Somalia.
You know, that is, what you're saying is, it's true, but always disagreement and different areas always a Bible, but the mosque is a united one. And no one can. There's a, before there was Somali community, which the city knows, and all the community knows. And then what happened was just disagreement of about some issues, how they manage and all that things. And then they factioning into two until that management get expired. And then there's no re-election and all that things. Even though there's no active opposition with each other, but no one comes together and organize a new one. But still, they have got united in the mosque and all that things, but there's some different ideas in the community.
I wouldn't be so surprised, because some Catholics and some Protestants don't always get along,
right.
So it gets
right.
Or sometimes Protestants split off too.
Yeah, there are three ELCA Lutheran churches. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The disagreement is not about the mosque, it's not about some of the religions, it's not about that.
Yeah.
But the disagreement is about
how
we understand that.
Yes. Yes.
We have that problem.
That's a universal.
Yeah.
Yes.
The meeting is adjourned. We've met 6 o'clock.
Thank you.
It was a great effort. Not too long after I moved here, maybe it was a year or so